Sean Probert as Bob, Catherine Hulbert as Tessa, and Fenella Fielding and Trevor Martin as Glenda and Reg Mounce. Towards the end of the morning...
Oh, God. For heaven's sake, will someone turn on the lights?
Did you say something, John?
Yes, Bob, I did say something. The lights. Will someone turn them on before we all go blind?
That better, John?
It's a bit much, Bob. Look, here I am, slaving my guts out, doing three men's work. My staff don't even listen.
Sorry, John.
Yesterday, Bob. I told you yesterday to finish Thought for the Week. I still haven't got the
copy. No, you told me to do Country Day by Day, John, and that's what I'm doing.
Bob, Country Day by Day is old Eddie's job. Eddie? Eddie!
No need to shout, John. Your copy, I'll have it for you right away.
We're behind schedule now, Eddie.
He's asleep again, John.
Oh, it's just too ridiculous, Bob. Old Eddie should have been retired years ago.
Well, he has worked on the paper for 40 years, John.
I'm not being hard, but where's it got, Eddie? Where's it getting me? We just about keep up with the schedule for the next week, and it's gone, and the whole bloody struggle starts again. Crosswords, anniversaries, diary, lighting up, times. All the junk no one else wants to do. This job is a flaming bottomless bucket, filling pages week after week after week. I swear, Bob, one of these days I shall crack. Throw this ruddy typewriter straight through that window.
Oh, you wouldn't do that, John.
Why wouldn't I?
Because of Janny and your kids.
Ha. Because of Janny and the kids. How old are you now, Bob? As a matter of interest.
29.
Oh, my God, you're young. You wait till you reach my age, married with kids, a mortgage, having to work all hours God made just to keep your head
above water. Your head above water, I know. Look, now just forget Country Day by Day. We'll be ready by lunchtime.
Oh, that's really good of you, Bob, but no. No, if you're really that busy, I'll cancel my broadcast.
Can you do that, John?
Well, I don't suppose the BBC would like it. They could even cancel my contract.
Look, I've said I'll do it, John.
Oh, bless you, Bob. No, I'm sorry. Sorry for sounding off like that. I know how busy you are. How busy we all are. It's a frustration. I know exactly what would cure it.
Oh, what?
Television. I'd like to be one of those terrible people on television. You know, the ones who go on and just talk, air their views on life.
Oh, I think that's a horrible idea.
Well, maybe. But think of it in practical terms. £100 an appearance. Don't even have to write a script. Oh, yes, it'll be marvellous. Just to make my name in television.
But you chose journalism, John.
Yes, that was before everyone had television. And people actually read newspapers. And Fleet Street really meant something. Now...
Would you broadcast as well?
For the World Service.
Well, what's wrong with that? And you do get paid.
No, it's not simply money, Bob. It's, prestige.
But I thought you got loads of fan letters.
Oh, I do. From India, Hong Kong, Sierra Leone. No, don't think I'm not appreciative. I am. But here in England, who even knows I exist? Take David Frost, Norman Ward Westerman, even Michael Parkinson. They were all good journalists. Who knew them till they got onto television? Look where they are now.
Behind schedules, like you.
Oh, blast, that can't be the time. You'll have to cover for me, Bob. Say I'm in the compositing room or something. Oh, see you at the pub, about one.
John, before you vanish, the pictures for Country Day by Day.
They're in the file.
No, you were getting them from Reg Mounce, remember?
You mean that bloody incompetent hasn't sent them up yet? Look, phone Mounce and tell him.
Well, me? Phone Reg Mounce?
Well, I haven't got time. Anyway, Mounce is your landlord. So if anyone can move him, you can.
Speak.
Now, are you listening to me?
Now, please, Dancer, control yourself. Yes, thank you. Now about Mounce. Yes, I have decided he will have to go.
Well, good about time too. When are you going to tell him?
Me? Would discharge our picture editor personally? Impossible. In any case, I find Mounts far too overwhelming. Even frightening. Well, yes, incompetent he may be, Dancer, but remember, our newspaper prides itself on security of employment. Besides the unions, what could we tell them? Persecute him? No, Dancer, no. However, a small inconvenience here, a little prod there. Now, that will be very different. Yes. Excellent. And there I was thinking my chief sub-editor had run out of ideas. I would not have liked that at all. However, I would make one minor amendment. Your first salvo. Fire it when friend Mounts is at his most vulnerable. Yes. Towards the end of the morning.
Reg?
Mr. Mounts, do you love old? Come to buy me a drink, have you?
Not exactly. These pictures. I thought you'd want to see them. I've done the captions.
Well, let's have them then, La Boule. String Buddy Symphony. Overture of Bleeding Sunset. Blimey. That's the best your stinking little mind can dredge up. And what's this, La Boule?
My expenses. They need signing.
And you want me to condone your swindle, magic? Well, seeing I'm in a generous mood. Keep your grubby hands away. Right. Seeing you'll soon be solvent, you can loan me a fiver.
A fiver? But, Mr. Mounts, you owe me...
Reckon I'd better take a closer look at those expenses.
Hold on. Here, Mr. Mounts. £4. It's all I've got, honest.
Then I'll believe you, Lovebo. Now, don't hang about, son. We've both got work to do.
Ah, Bob.
Oh,
sorry I'm late.
It's all right, John.
What are you drinking?
Oh, usual, thanks, John. Hey, the broadcast, how did it go?
Perfect, Bob, just perfect. Miss, I say, Miss.
Oh, yes?
Two halves, please.
Okay.
Yes, I feel completely recharged. Broadcasting. I really adore it.
Send 5 pence, please, love.
Okay. Didn't know that beer had gone up again, Bob. Still, cheers.
Cheers.
Now, where was I?
Oh, you were telling me about the broadcast, John.
So I was. Yes, Bob, there's something about radio. Knowing that millions all over the world are hanging on your every word. Don't you think so?
I don't broadcast, John.
Then you should. Yes, I could always talk to someone at Bush House. You know, get you in.
No, I'd rather you didn't.
No trouble, Bob. And I do have the contacts. I know you'd love it. I found out something today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The producer showed me a letter from Conakry, of all places. Some girl wants a photograph of me.
Yeah, but that's marvellous.
I shan't send it, of course.
Oh, why ever not?
Well, it does seem a bit film starish.
Oh, it'd be a pity to disappoint her, though, John.
Oh, yes, yeah. I suppose it would. But it'd have to be a really good picture. A studio portrait.
A studio portrait? You're a joker, Dyson, a real joker.
But, Red, your photographers, they're not that busy.
Too busy for jokers like you, son. Especially jokers who send me crap.
Crap? What crap?
This crap, Dyson. Recognize it, do you?
It looks like a memo from the editor.
It looks like what it is. Crap. Go on, read it.
I have, after considerable thought, concluded that this newspaper does not offer sufficient scope for your talent.
Said it was crap, didn't I?
I therefore believe you should look around for other arrangements. You mean he's fired you?
But no one ever gets fired from here, John.
Right. So tell me who's playing silly buggers?
Well, it could be genuine, Reg.
And I could be the stinking Queen of Sheba.
But it sounds just like the editor. It's his style. And it is on his headed notepaper.
Any ready joker can get hold of that. So, Dyson, who?
Well, how about one of your photographers?
The only thing those creeps can write is expense names. Besides, they wouldn't dare. But the stinking creep who wrote this had better watch out. I'll find him and... Are you sure it wasn't you?
No, it wasn't. Now, about my photograph...
Scrub off. First, I want this joker. Then, maybe, if the price is right.
Tailbacks Tracks in the hangar lane. Westbound traffic to
keep your voice down, John.
What?
Sorry, but I've just got the boys to bed.
Just where we ought to be.
Are you listening to that?
No.
Good.
Now then, come here.
Yes. I do like the perfume.
Oh, you must have had a good day. Now, do you fancy a drink?
Oh, I didn't know we had any.
It's a surprise. Go on. Open it.
Oh, Italian plonk. Been splurging the housekeeping, isn't
it? Oh, what housekeeping? No, it was on special offer, so. Well, anyway, I saved on supper. It's spaghetti. I hope you're hungry.
Starving. The boys behave themselves.
As good as gold for a change. Gawain walked into a tree this afternoon.
He didn't hurt himself.
No, just his dignity. But Damien was funny. He refused to move until Gawain said sorry to the tree.
At least he remembered his manners. Oh, that's not bad.
Good.
Spaghetti, do you want any help with it?
No, not really. I did the sauce this afternoon. You could put the water on. Oh, is Bob coming to supper tomorrow?
Damn, I forgot to tell him. I'll remind him in the morning.
At least we know he won't refuse. I just don't know how he stands it.
What?
Living in a bedsitter at his age. He must be pushing 30.
I might stand a bedsitter, but living in the same house as Reg Mounts.
Eh? Yes, it was mine.
Sinatra doing it his way. The time, 6:45. Now for tonight's weather. The freak thunderstorm that blacked out London this morning has moved eastwards.
Hold on.
The rain is now lashing...
Bob, sweetie.
Mrs. Mounts.
Glenda. It's Glenda, sweetie. You know that. It's my cigarette. It needs lighting.
I don't think I've any matches.
Try by the gas cooker, sweetie. And, sweetie, you could ask me in.
Well, you see,
I think, darling, Bob is bashful. Now, don't tell me you haven't seen girls in frillies before. Or even without them. Now, can I have that light?
Yes, sir, of course.
Oh, love. Oh. This picture, sweetie, it's new, isn't it?
Is Reg working late again?
Well, you ought to know, darling. All I know is what I hear. But whatever he's up to, it'll take all night.
He's not coming back tonight.
Don't sound so hopeful, darling. Besides, when Reg is away, my bedroom door's always bolted. So put those burning eyes away and tell me something.
Oh, what?
Have you eaten yet, sweetie?
Eaten? No. Why?
Because you're in for a treat, darling. Glenda's decided that she's going to cook you supper.
Spag bowl, wine, music. You, who could ask for anything more? There are times when young Bob doesn't know what he's missing.
What made you think of Bob?
Oh, I know. You know, Janet, you really should talk to him.
What about?
That girlfriend of his.
Tessa. Don't tell me she really exists.
Oh, she exists, all right. Bob and she keep the post office solvent. He wrote her 10 pages today.
It's funny we've never met her, isn't it?
Oh, I suppose we will sometime, when she comes to London. Hey, why not suggest it to Bob? She could always bed down here. If it's okay with you.
But would it be all right with Tessa?
Why shouldn't it be?
Oh, she might prefer to stay with Bob. Especially when she hears about our neighbours.
They haven't done it again?
Yes, about 20 more beer cans.
Which one was it?
I don't know, John.
You didn't touch them?
No.
Move them at all?
Of course not.
So I shall find them exactly where they landed?
Yes, just beyond the second apple tree. I really wish you'd find out who's doing it.
We've only two neighbours, Janny, Pat Cox and Akos St. George. And I've read the riot act of both. No, the only way is to catch them at it.
Personally, I don't think it's Mr. St. George.
Oh?
Well, he's always very polite. Besides, he's West Indian.
What's West Indian got to do with it?
Well, they drink rum.
And Pat Cox is Irish. We haven't found any empty Guinness cans. Now, I shall also have to have words with both of them again. Oh, answer that, will you, Jenny? I'll go and clear up the mess.
7996? Yes. Yes. Yes, of course I'll tell him. Yes. He'll ring you in the morning.
Oh, I've solved the problem, Jenny. I threw the cans back. 10 over each of their fences. But, Jenny, you all right?
Yes. It was the telephone call.
Not bad news?
I'm not sure. It was Jack D'Souza's secretary. He's doing a television programme and he wants you on it.
Well, I thought you'd say something, Bob.
Well, a bit busy, John. Oh, but it's marvellous news. Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, Aunt Mary. Yes, it's John. No, nothing's the matter. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that I'm going to be on television.
Yes.
A bit preposterous. No, it's not for the BBC. Well, the commercial side does do good programmes as well. Yes, after the news, next Thursday. Oh. Well, can't you miss it for once? Yeah, you'll try. Good.
Bye.
Six.
What, Bob?
I was adding up your relatives. So far, six telephone calls equals two aunts, three uncles, and a cousin.
Yes, I suppose he's a bit naughty on me, but... Well, anyway, I don't suppose he's going to lead anywhere.
Oh, why not?
Because I'll most probably cock it up.
Well, with your experience of broadcasting, and Indonesia, your pet subject.
What's Indonesia got to do with it?
Oh, it is your speciality, John.
Oh, yes, I suppose I do know something about Indonesia, Bob. Then I know something about a lot of things. I'm a journalist, Bob. But this television programme's about race.
Race?
Yeah. The problems of living in a multiracial community.
Oh, I didn't know you had experience of that, John. Was that in Indonesia?
No, it was not in Indonesia, honestly, Bob. You visit us often enough. Spadina Road is the perfect example of multiracial harmony, with West Indians living on one side, Irish on the other, and four other West Indian families just down the road.
Hey, how did the television company find out about you?
Oh, from Jack D'Souza. He's producing the programme. Janny and his wife were at university together. They came to tea one Sunday. Jack mentioned he was thinking of buying a house, so I gave him a tour of Spadina Road, introduced him to the neighbours.
Beer cans and all?
As a matter of fact, Bob, he was so impressed, he almost bought a house there and then.
But he's doing a programme instead. Hey, who else is on with you?
Well, the chairman's Norman Ward Westerman. You've seen him, of course.
No.
What? You've never seen Norman Ward Westerman? Oh, you must have done, Bob, you really must. He's absolutely brilliant.
Well, you know I don't have a television, John.
Well, then you'll hardly know any of the others. Ruth Drax, she's a social worker. Lewis Williamson, a barrister from Trinidad. Oh, and of course, there's Frank Boddy.
Who's Frank Boddy?
You haven't heard of Frank Boddy? Lord Boddy?
No.
Oh, good grief, Bob. Don't you take any interest in the upper classes? I thought you, a writer, would find them totally absorbing. I know I do.
Oh.
No, not for snobbish reasons. Purely as a sociological study.
Well, I still don't know Lord Boddy, John.
No, you're impossible. Why, I'll bet even old Eddie knows Lord Boddy. Don't you, Eddie? Eddie!
You want me, John?
Yes, tell Bob what you know about Lord Boddy.
New copy, John? You never said anything about new copy.
For heaven's sake, Eddie. Lord Boddy, you have heard of him?
You don't need to shout, John. He's one of the baddies, or is it the goodies?
Oh, God.
Oh, they do silly things on television.
Hey, isn't that Bill Oddie?
Well, that's what I said. And if you know about him, why ask me? Wasting time when I've worked until
I give up. Anyway, Bob, Lord Body is tremendously interested in the colour problem. Writes books, sits on committees, royal commissions, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Brooke.
Next week's crossword, John. Is it done yet? And I might as well have country day by day.
Try the out tray. Oh, by the way, I'm on television on Thursday.
Great, John, great. You hear the latest on Reg Mount?
Oh, you mean that joke letter?
Yeah, he's beginning to wonder whether it is.
So he hasn't found out who sent it yet?
No, but everyone thinks it's from the editor. It's got Reg really wide. This copy, John, you write it.
Hmm? Oh, no, Bob did. Yes, my programme goes out on Thursday, Brooke. Live. I'm on with Lord Body.
Pity I missed it, then. You must write more of these, Bob.
Oh, ta.
And, John, next time you're on the box, let us know in advance. I'd like to have seen you.
Of course, you'll be watching, Bob.
Oh, I've told you, John, I don't own a television.
Well, that needn't stop you watching. You can come over to our place. Hold Janny's hand. She's in a terrible state, poor girl.
I'm in a terrible state. He's phoning everyone he can think of, telling them they have to watch. Rehearsing in front of a mirror. And then ordering you here, Bob.
Well, it wasn't quite like that, Jenny. You don't mind?
Don't be silly. Oh, well, be a dear. Pass me that peppermill.
Yeah.
Thanks. No, I'm just scared he'll make a fool of himself.
Hey, go easy on the pepper. No, John will be all right. Anyway, but nerves, they're only natural.
I still didn't think I'd be able to watch. What are you thinking about?
Oh, nothing really. Just that sometimes I envy him.
Only sometimes? Really, Bob? All right, why?
Oh, I don't know. Having you, the children... Let's change the subject.
Why?
Well, it isn't important.
Come on. Tell Auntie Janny the problem.
Well, it's Glenda Mouse. Oh, she frightens me, Janny. Last night she barged into my room, said she was going to cook my supper.
She could land you in trouble, Bob.
So you still think she's after me?
I know she is. Well, what happened after supper?
She bit me.
She did what?
She bit me. See, here on my leg.
Are you sure you didn't encourage her?
No. But you know my room, Jenny, how small it is. Well, one moment she was sitting in the chair, and the next she was...
As I always say, darling, there's nothing more enjoyable for a woman than cooking for a man. I'll bet you didn't think Glenda could cook like that.
Oh, no, I didn't.
No, of course you didn't. And I could do even better in my own kitchen. Oh. In fact, I'd ask you upstairs, darling, but... Well, Reg, he's jealousy incarnate. If he ever found out I'd had a man in the flat... Do you like jealousy in women, darling?
No, I don't.
Oh, I think it's wonderful when somebody's jealous. Within reason, of course. At least then you know where you stand. Now, I'm quite broad-minded about Reg. Well, I have to be. But I can be jealous as a cat. Believe me, I can.
Mrs. Mounts?
Move over a little, sweetie. Oh. Now, isn't that comfy? Glenda's gonna let you into a little secret. She's getting a spare key for this flat.
Oh, God.
Then she can have a meal all ready for Bobby when he gets in.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Mouse, but
you... Someone to look after him, sweetheart. Spoil him a little. You don't seem very grateful, darling.
Oh, I am, really, but you...
Oh, you think Dan's a bit close to you, darling? Is Bobby a little bit scared, then? Does he think she's got wicked designs on him?
Oh, no.
Well, Oh, Bobby's got nothing to worry about. Glenda isn't going to bite. Then again, you know, perhaps Sweetie needs waking up a little.
Well, it hurt, Johnny. It really did.
I'm sorry, Bob, but you are a bit wet. The calendar. Hold it for me, will you?
Oh, sure.
Does Glenda know about you and Tessa?
Oh, of course. I've talked about her a lot.
Oh, not to me you haven't. How is she?
Fine. She's with her parents till September, and that's when she goes back to college.
Has she ever met Glenda?
No, she's never even been up to London.
Then it's about time she did. Tessa could always stay here, if she wanted to.
You are kind, Jenny.
Rubbish. Tell me, what's Tessa like?
Dark, a bit shorter than you, quite attractive.
How old?
Not really sure. About 20, I suppose.
20? Dark and attractive. Rather a change from Glenda Mounts. Why hasn't she ever come to London?
Oh, it's her college. They don't let the girls out much.
Sounds more like a prison.
No, it's a sort of finishing school, really. That's why they're a bit strict.
You and a girl from finishing school. I'm sorry, Bob, but it is funny. Oh, not again.
Jenny, you heard that, Jenny? Right. This time they won't get away.
Should I go and help?
I wouldn't.
Right, that's it.
But you could help yourself.
How?
Oh, the living room's free. Why not give Tessa a ring? Ask her to visit.
I don't mind you phoning Tessa, Bob. Really, I don't.
Well, I'd still like to pay for the call, John.
Nonsense. All you're going to do is tell us when Tessa's coming.
Well, that depends on her parents. She'll write once she's spoken to them. Hey, do you think we could all go have dinner? Good restaurant? It'd be on me.
Only if we go Dutch. I'll splurge some of that 50 quid I'm earning.
50 quid? I thought television personalities got thousands.
Well, they do. They do. But first they have to make a name for themselves. And that is the real point, Bob. When one first appears on television, it isn't simply for money.
Ah, but you don't despise the money, do you?
Of course not. God, at my age...
At your age, you have to work all the hours God made 7 days a week because...
Because I'm mortgaged to the hilt. Because the kids always need something. Because this glass of plonk's about the only luxury I can afford. Because I shake with fear just thinking about it. Even so, I'm not doing it just for money.
Then why are you doing it?
Because I want to make a name for myself.
Oh, is that all?
There are practical advantages, Jenny. Remember the school in Almeria Road? How we fought to get the boys into it?
I remember they wouldn't take them.
Yeah, and do you know why?
They were full, and we didn't live in the area.
Would that have mattered if I'd been Lord Bobby or Norman Ward Westerman? Of course it would.
Ah, so you'd have pulled strings, John?
No, they'd have pulled strings for the honour of having my kids in their school, for what I might be able to do for them. Look, if I was the John Dyson, the television personality, the World Service wouldn't think of using me, paying me a miserable £22.50 an appearance. They wouldn't waste their time even asking.
Why ever not?
Because they'd know better. They'd realise I was fully occupied.
Doing what?
Writing for Playboy, the Sunday Times, appearing on television at 500 quid a time. It's practical economics, Bob.
You sound very impassioned about it.
I am impassioned about it. I don't want to be so famous that I can't get on a bus without being mobbed. Moderation in all things. But if I was the John Dyson, I'd get better theatre seats. I'd be welcomed in restaurants. Oh, you think I'm going on a bit, don't you?
No.
Good, because I'm serious. Today, it is not excellence that leads to celebrity. It is celebrity that leads to excellence. See, first, you make a reputation, and it's that reputation that alters your conditions and improves them and allows you to do better work.
That's a load of balls. Sorry, Johnny.
All right. Let's be honest with ourselves. Now, take me. I am a small but vital link in one of the most important newspapers in the world, right?
Yes.
Yes, but wouldn't I do better and more efficient work if I didn't have to scrub around freelancing to supplement my pathetic salary?
You mean Country Day by Day would actually be on schedule?
Everything would be on schedule. Tell you, you're a writer, Bob.
I'm a writer?
I didn't know you were a writer, Bob.
Bobby's a marvellous writer. Perhaps even a great writer.
Oh, I've never written anything much, John.
Yeah, and do you know why? Because I'm a slave driver. I keep you doing piddling little jobs for me. So the reason that you don't write anything is because the conditions I force on you are wrong.
But John...
Oh, I know you and Jenny think I'm an egotistical bastard. And I want fame just for myself. I don't.
You want everyone to be famous.
Everyone who has something to offer. I want to free myself from the world service. It's tyranny, yes, but I also want Bob to be famous so he can liberate himself from me.
And what about me, John?
Hmm? You? What about you?
Would you want me to be famous and liberate myself from you?
Beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Tessa is heading my way. Tessa! Oh, I'm in the bath!
Everybody will get up in.
Hey, look, Reg, I'm really pushed for time.
So am I. And I'll have that racket off as well. You and me, we're going to have a long overdue chat.
I told you, Reg, I don't know who sent that letter, honestly.
That's not why I'm here.
Oh?
It's a ruddy sight more serious. Now, you know I'm away quite a bit.
Well, that's part of your job, Reg.
Right. So then you know what I'm driving at.
I do.
Of course you do. While Daddy's away earning the housekeeping, things could be happening here.
Things?
You know, behind his back.
Well...
Mark you, I'm not saying they are, but they could be, right?
Well, Reg...
But there have to be some stinking limits, Bob.
Well, if you say so, Reg.
I do say so. Glenda, you see her much when
no,
I'm away?
No, hardly at all.
Don't have her down here for a drink?
No.
I see. You know what you are, Bob? You're a rotten, stinking little sod, that's what you are.
Oh, Reg.
My Glenda, alone up there, and you do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think she could be lonely? Need a bit of cheering up?
Poor. I never thought of it that way, Reg.
That's the trouble, Bob. Folk today, they don't think. So you remember something. When I'm away, you take care of my Glenda. Make sure she keeps out of trouble. Right?
Oh, right.
Good. And seeing I'm, well, tied up a bit tonight.
Oh, tonight, Reg? No, I'm afraid I can't tonight. I'm going out.
Like you've done every night this week. Found a bit of crumpet, have you?
Yeah, I've been going to the cinema. But John Dyson's on television tonight. I'm going to his house to look after his wife.
Just a test for voice level, final.
I thought you'd know mine by now, Jack.
Oh, to the last decibel, Frank. But John and Lewis are new to this game. John, say a few words for you.
What, me? Oh, right, yes, Jack. Yes, I was just telling Lord Body how tremendously I enjoyed his books.
Oh, very kind of you, Dyson.
Yes, I found them all absolutely fascinating. do you find Lord Body's books fascinating, Mr. Axe?
I'm afraid I'm not much of a reader, Mr. Dyson. Actually, I rather prefer television. Documentaries, of course.
Ah, but documentaries are absolutely fascinating, aren't they, Mr. Axe? Television is fascinating. You think television's fascinating, don't you, Lewis?
Well, not particularly, Dyson. In Trinidad, all we see is junk. British junk, American junk, Cuban junk.
The only thing missing is the Chinese junk, eh?
thank you, Pani. Thank you, Norman. A quick run through, if you're ready.
Jack, love, I've been ready for the last 10 minutes.
I must say, watching Norman Ward Westerman at work is absolutely fascinating.
Can we have some hush for Norman, please?
Oh, sorry.
From the top, Norman.
Well, if you're quite ready, opening credits, music, da-da-da-da, Tilly singing.
Fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
My little bounce down the stairs, smile the camera one. Hello, good evening, and welcome. Slurp over the chair. Once again, this is Norman Ward Westerman with the human angle. The film you're about to see is a remarkable experiment in... Jack, the words, they're supposed to be on the auto-cue.
Yes, technical, Rich Norman. Coming up now.
Multiracial coexistence. Oh, so that's what it's about. Hopefully then film starts, film ends, I'm picked up on camera two, and Jack, please not too tight a close-up tonight. Then the film you've just seen was blah, blah, blah from the autocue, then introduce the guests. On my left, Lord Body. Blah, blah, read the other names off autocue, then let everyone come in with their blahs until wind-up. That panel is when I scratch my nose like this, so all blasts will cease immediately. I say, the conclusions of our guests obviously show, blah, 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 all for to Q and fate. Is everybody happy?
It is incredibly happy, Norman. It's absolutely incredible.
I had no idea, absolutely no idea how much you, yourself, put into one short half-hour of television.
Only the public knew, John, if only they knew.
Stand by, studio. Commercial break in 5 seconds. Rolling in 2 minutes.
Seduction. The ultimate in hair care. Use it anytime, anywhere. But remember, seduction can be a habit. So for women who crave the ultimate experience, it's seduction.
I should be so lucky.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another...
I'm coming! I'll get your keys again, Reg.
Excuse me, but Bob, Mr. Bell, he does live here.
Well, he's in, sweetie. I know you. You're Tessa. Well, then just stand there, love. Here, give me that case.
Oh, thank you.
You look just like your photo, darling. Now, his room's down on the left.
Bob, will he be back soon?
Who knows with men, darling? Now, get your coat off, and I'll make us a nice cup. And if you'll look, well, you know, it's down the passage.
Oh, I'm all right, thank you. Mrs.
Mouth, darling. But you can call me Glenda.
Thank you. Do you cook? Clean for Mr. Bell?
Cook? Clean? Put the cat out. Yes, darling, I'm the skivvy round here. And for what? For one kind word from the great man.
I see.
No, you don't, darling. Glenda knows just what you're thinking. But to put your mind at rest, I'm not.
Not what?
Not what you're thinking. No, sweetest. No. Glenda lives upstairs.
Oh.
Pops down on and off to see the great man's all right. Well, someone's got to keep him in condition for you. Now, do you fancy a bite?
Oh, no, thank you. I had dinner on the train. Oh, but you...
Not me, sweet. It's my figure. My age needs a bit of care.
Oh, I think it's awfully good. Are you a model?
Well, could have been, love. I could have been. I do have the figure for it, but Reg, he just wouldn't wear it. Now, the problem's simply keeping slim.
Is Reg your husband?
Right, sweetie, right. My Reg is a ruddy terror about it.
Oh?
Last year in Majorca, I put on 5 pounds. You know what?
No.
He went berserk. Thought I was in the club.
The club?
Preggers, darling, preggers.
Pregnancy. Illegitimacy. These are too often linked with all the problems of a multiracial society.
He's coming to John now.
Would you agree, John?
I can't bear to watch.
John?
Why doesn't he say something?
Now, what you say, Norman, is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. However, if I might butt in, the idea is extraordinarily interesting. Indeed, even fascinating.
What's he doing now, Bob?
Oh, it's all right to look, Johnny. He's just smoking.
Smoking?
As a social worker, I can...
John hasn't smoked since university.
Well, he's certainly smoking now, Johnny.
If I might butt in, Ruth, what you say is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. The whole thesis is absolutely fascinating.
Why is it waving his hands about like that?
Is possible. Would you not agree, Lord Body?
Absolutely, Norman. The proud party to which I belong has long advocated...
Yeah, if I might butt in a moment, I find Lord Body's comments extraordinarily interesting.
He's waving his arms again.
Oh, he does that in the office, Johnny.
Having lived here in Britain for 20 years...
Indeed, Lewis, indeed.
I find it incomprehensible that opinion formers like Lord Body, journalists like Dyson, can stumble their way through the hall of their programs, still blinkered by the conventions of an outmoded society. However,
indeed, yes, indeed, absolutely, indeed.
Oh, God, John.
The press should take a firm lead in playing down news about race relations. What do you think, John?
Well, Norman.
Why didn't he say something? Oh, no, not another cigarette.
He's got a very good sense of timing, Johnny.
An extraordinarily interesting idea, Norman. Extraordinarily interesting.
A sentiment which sums up the whole complex situation. So, this is Norman Ward Westerman saying goodbye until next week, when our subject will be animal...
Oh, Bob!
Oh, it's all right, Johnny. It's all right. Honestly, Johnny, nobody watches this kind of program anyway.
Oh, that's not important.
Then why are you crying, Johnny?
Because I won't know what to say to him when he gets back, and I won't know how to cheer him up.
I really didn't know I had it in me. Bob, Janet, tell me, how did I really look?
Oh, you were fine, John.
Fine.
You're not just saying that. I really was all right.
We just said so, John.
Good. Top up the glasses, Bob. There's a good chap.
Right.
No, the point is, I actually enjoyed it. I could have gone on all night.
You should have seen the others.
We did, John.
Mm. I was shaking with nerves. Hardened performers like Frank Body, even Norman Ward Westerman were petrified. I didn't use my notes at all.
Oh, you were fascinating, John. Absolutely fascinating.
What? Yes. Yes, I was absolutely in my element, wasn't I? So, you really thought I came over well?
I've just said so, John. Very well.
Didn't think I was a bit strong? Cut in, perhaps argued too much?
Why, did you think you did?
Well, for a brief moment I thought, I thought I might be overdoing the controversy. But...
Oh, you certainly weren't doing that, John.
Ah, that's all right, then.
I'm really exhausted. One for the road, Bob?
No, thanks, no. Thanks for the supper, Jenny.
I'll see you out then.
No, you stay. I'll see you in the morning. Night.
Sleep well, Bob. Ah, you know, Jenny, there's no way I can explain. Television. It's so alive. It's so much more vital than journalism. Suddenly, I know exactly what I've been missing.
Cigarettes.
You noticed that, did you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Well, you thought it looked odd?
You've not smoked since university.
Exactly, Janny. That's why it was sheer inspiration. A box of cigarettes was there, everyone else was smoking. And suddenly I knew with absolute certainty that I should smoke as well. I think it absolutely made my performance. Don't you think it made my performance?
Oh, John, why? Why did you do it?
Because they wanted me, Janny. You know that.
I'm not talking about the bloody programme.
Well, then what are you talking about?
What you did with all our friends and relatives watching.
Janny, please. What did I do?
You sat there saying absolutely fascinating with three cigarettes and tried to smoke them all at the same time.
Why can't anything go right? Why?
Did you say something, John?
No, Eddie, I didn't say a bloody thing.
I thought you said something about Bill Wright. He's dead, you know. Walked under a bus coming out of the Wigan Pen. What made you think of him?
I wasn't thinking of him. I wasn't thinking of anybody.
But you did say something.
Yes, Eddie, I said your bloody copy's late again, so just get on with it and leave me alone.
Well, if that's what you want, John...
Are your diaries? No, I'm not on television tonight. Look, I don't care what Brett said. No, I was on last night. Yes, I'm sorry you missed it. Well, I had a few comments. Relatives, mainly. Well, they seemed to think I was quite good. Again... Well, I have no plans at the moment. Yes, of course I'll let you know. And let you laugh all over your fat Welsh face. Not really likely.
John.
Oh, what's the matter now, Eddie?
This letter, it's addressed to you. It wasn't marked personal,
Yes, that's all right.
Scheherazade Tours would like you to join them on the inaugural flight to Sharjah, their newest sunshine resort.
Oh, sorry I'm late, John. I had a bit of a crisis.
You had a bit of a crisis. I had one all ruddy night. Janny was utterly impossible.
Oh, she was fine when I left.
Till you left. Then she went right through my whole ruddy performance, second by second. Why the hell didn't you tell me?
Well, you weren't that bad, John. Anyway, I don't suppose many people saw it.
Oh, thanks very much. No, but Janny was right. I've analysed the whole thing carefully. I was bad. Very bad.
I think it was very good, John.
What did you say, Eddie?
I said it's very good.
But you saw it, Eddie. You actually saw it.
Well, I'm reading it now, John. Of course, it's a bit long, but I can cut it all right.
Oh, just go back to sleep, will you? Well, what was your crisis, Paul?
Tessa.
Tessa? Well, you haven't split up.
Well, almost. She was at the flat when I got back, chatting happily with Glenda Mount.
Oh. Well, I thought she was going to write and say when she was coming.
Well, she did.
So?
Well, we were busy, remember? I put her letter on one side and I forgot all about it. Well,
where's Tessa now?
With Janny. We're meeting at your house for supper. Well, if that's okay with you.
Oh, yes. Well, as long as you bring some wine. Oh. What did you tell her parents?
White lie, that she'd been invited down by friends. She gave them your phone number, you know, just in case.
Well, suppose they ring.
I don't tell them she's out. That she'll phone back.
Oh, yes. Well, that's fine by me. You told Janny?
Not yet.
Well, then I'd warn her, just in case. It's your turn for an overseas trip, isn't it?
Oh.
In golf.
Oh,
it's like Eddie's in line for some sun. Eddie! Oh, for heaven's sake, Bob, shake him up, will you?
Eddie? Hey, John, I think Eddie's sick. You better phone for a doctor.
What? Eddie? Wake up, Eddie. We're too late, Bob. Old Eddie's gone. He's dead.
I know John said bring some wine, but this...
Thank you, everyone. Glasses. I can't even remember the last time we had champagne. Can you, Janny?
It was at your sister's wedding, remember?
Oh, yes, so it was. There we are.
Thank you.
Well, let's drink to Tessa. Eh?
Tessa.
I say, and to Bob for being ruddy extravagant. You're going to have to watch that, you know, Tessa.
What, John?
Extravagance, especially his.
Oh, I don't spend very much, John.
There's never enough money, Bob. Not once you're married. But even so, it's something that I am strongly in favour of. Yes, I think everybody should marry. Mm. Marry anybody.
Just anyone?
Yes, forget all this nonsense about one and only soulmate. It's the state of marriage that counts.
It's rather a stupid thing to say, John.
Why?
Well, a bad marriage is much worse than no marriage at all.
No rubbish, Janny. The only thing that counts is adaptation.
How do you mean, John?
You adapt to the idea of marriage. That's what I mean.
You ought to look at some of our friends' marriages, then. You'd soon find out about adaptation.
Honestly, Bob, women, eh? Just think about it statistically, Janny. How many marriageable girls does a man meet?
Or vice versa.
20, 50, 100? Let's say 100. Of whom we think, in our romantic way, that one, only one, is our ideal mate. Now, the population of the world is 4,000 million. Right? Divide that by 2 for members of the opposite sex, and what do you have?
2,000 million.
Exactly. Exactly. So, pro bloody rata, even by our own romantic criteria, singling out just one girl from 100 we meet, well, there'll be at least 20 million others who would also make an ideal mate. So, you see?
All I see is that you're trying to shock poor Tessa, and I won't allow it. So, you and Bob, out of the kitchen. We girls have work to do.
I don't care what you say, Bob. They're trying to marry us off.
Oh, it was the champagne, Tessa. Mm-hmm. And besides, they feel they know you. Oh, I speak about you often enough.
That's not what Janny said.
Well, anyway, what we do is up to us. We'll make up our own minds when we're ready. Isn't that right?
I think Janny's a bit in love with you.
In love with me? Oh, honestly, one moment she says she wants to marry herself, the next she's in love with me. It isn't consistent,
though. It is consistent. She thinks I won't be any competition. And she thinks you don't love me.
Well, Jenny said that.
No, but that's what I think.
Why?
Because if you cared about me, you'd have read my letter. You'd have met me at the station.
Look, I explained all that. I didn't read it because, well, I keep your letters. I read them in bed at night. But if it's that important, look, I'm sorry. Now, come here.
Oh, I'm sorry too, Bob. It's just everything's so different from the way I imagined it. I wanted to come off the train and leap into your arms. And all I got was Glenda Mounce.
She's a dreadful woman, Tessa.
Well, I thought that at first, but then she was really sweet. You know, she has a really hard life.
Well, Glenda has a hard life.
The poor woman's frustrated. Did you know her husband's impotent?
Well, she told you Reg was impotent.
Mm, and terribly jealous. You know, if she has an affair and he finds out, he flicks her.
He does what?
Flicks her with the back of his fingers, like this.
Ow! Oh,
she says it hurts terribly.
She's dead right. If you had an affair, I wouldn't flick you. You'd be whipped.
Oh, you needn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I'd never have an affair. And I know you're not impotent.
Are you feeling better now, John?
No. Oh, my stomach. My head. I never want to see champagne ever again.
Still, it's nice of Bob to bring it.
Yes. I must remember to thank him properly. What do you think of Tessa?
A little young, but all right. Is Bob really serious about her?
I think so. Oh, God, I'm tired.
Try and sleep, then.
I can't. I keep thinking about poor old Eddie.
You liked him, didn't you?
Liked him? I don't know. 10 years of sharing an office? I don't know, Jenny. It's really funny. Only this morning, Bob and I were planning a trip for him. Holiday in the sun. I almost invited him to the palm. You know, he had a flood of stories about his early days in Fleet Street. Some of them were really funny. But you know the funniest thing of all?
What?
A few hours ago, old Eddie was. Now, he's not. And that's what really takes getting used to.
I wouldn't know what to do if you...
Nor me.
Am I forgiven?
What for?
Last night, what I said about your television show.
You're forgiven.
You're not still thinking about it?
No, no. As far as I'm concerned, I never want to hear the word television again.
Diaries. Ah, yes, hang on, I'll get him. John?
Hmm?
It's the BBC, for you.
Dyson here. Yes. Oh, yes, I do appear on television from time to time. A programme on race relations? Well, yes, I suppose I do know something about the subject. Well, the problem is I am rather heavily committed. The 18th. Well, hold on while I check the diary. Oh, damn. No, it's just that something's come up in the Persian Gulf that week. Well, yes, it is rather important. Oh, no, I shall be back on the 17th. Good. Well, just let the contracts department ring me about the fee. Yes.
Oh, but if I could make a small suggestion, there's one person you really must have on the programme. Yeah, Lord Body. Oh, you're trying to get him. Absolutely marvellous, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, I know Frank Body very well. Very well, yeah. In fact, we were on the human angle only last week. No, it's on the other channel. Oh, you didn't see it. Did anyone in your department see it? Nobody. Ah, no, please don't apologise. That's all right. That's quite all right. No, just curiosity. Fine. Yes, well, we'll meet on the 18th then. Goodbye.
Another television programme?
Yes. So, you see, Bob, I couldn't have been that bad. It just shows one really mustn't be too hypercritical about one's performance. I must relax.
Well, the Scheherazade Tours thing ought to do that.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. You don't mind my grabbing it, do you?
Well, I couldn't have gone anyway, not with Tessa here.
She'll still be here when I get back.
Yeah, why?
Well, I just thought I'd take you both along to the BBC, let you see what actually happens in the studio. I'd even introduce you to Lord Body. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Bob?
Well,
tell me, Bob, do you think one ought to join a club?
A nightclub, John?
Bob, you are a treasure. No, I was thinking more of the Garrick, the Savage, even the Travellers.
Oh, that sort of club. Why?
Well, one does need somewhere to take people, especially if one's going to work in television fairly regularly. I mean, I suppose one wanted to have a quiet chat with a producer, you know, put up one or two ideas for programmes, or take Frank Body to lunch. And where could one possibly go?
Oh, what's wrong with a pub, John?
Take Lord Body to a pub?
What's wrong with a restaurant, then?
No, somehow I don't feel a restaurant would be quite right. It would be, well, too voulue.
Why?
Well, one's guest would feel one was going out of one's way to entertain.
But you are.
Yes, I know, but one's club, one could sit comfortably until he arrived. One could then walk into the dining room in a rather mundane sort of way, as though one did it every day. It would be more like asking him to one's home.
Well, why don't you do that, John? Invite Lord Body to Spadina Road.
I would, Bob, but, you know, these days when one doesn't have servants with kids around and broken toys and... Oh, damn, I almost forgot.
What?
Jenny said I was to bring you and Tessa home tonight. She's fixing something special for supper. You two are free.
Oh, well, yes. If I can get through all this stuff. What time do we leave for old Eddie's funeral?
Right after lunch. I suppose we'd better get cracking. Right, well, we'll start with anniversary.
Well, there's 2 weeks' supply on your desk.
2 weeks' supply? That's amazing, Bob. How on earth did you manage it?
I didn't.
Well, who did, then?
He did.
The name's Morris. Erskine Morris. I've met Bob, so I guess you're Dyson.
Erskine's just joined the paper. He's a graduate trainee.
Oh, yes. The same way I did. Yes, yeah, you get shifted around every couple of weeks, but you soon get used to it.
I'm not being shifted around, John.
Oh?
Erskine's replacing Eddie.
What? That's the first I've heard about it. Are you certain you were told to report here, Erskine?
Sure. Cigarette, anyone?
No, and no one smokes in this office, Erskine.
Sure, John. Sure.
I don't understand why I wasn't told. Heaven knows I need a replacement, but... Oh, someone experienced. A trainee's no damn good at all. Oh, well, you better stay till I've got things sorted out.
Sure. By the way, this desk here, I've taken it over. I say something funny, Bob.
No, it's just your initials, you know, EM. They're the same as Eddie Morton's, and now you're at his desk.
Sure.
Bob, old Eddie's junk. We'd better clear the drawer.
Oh, it's done already, John.
Oh? What did you do with old Eddie's stuff, then, Erskine?
I put it in the wastebasket. Well, John, where do I start?
You start by watching me, Erskine. You'll pick up the job as we go along. Now, the function of this department is...
The anniversaries I did this morning, John, shouldn't you be checking them?
Yes, I was getting to them, Erskine.
Sure, John, sure.
Now, I'll have a look.
Well?
Well, this is all right. This is quite good. It's quite good work. But they've been done on an electric typewriter.
Sure. Faster. More efficient. That's why I ordered one.
You did what?
Ordered an electric typewriter. You can borrow it if you like.
I can borrow it? Year in, year out, Bob and I made do with one reconditioned manual typewriter, and you, a trainee on your first day here, get an electric. Well, I won't bloody stand for it. It goes back to the stores now.
It doesn't belong to the paper, John.
Well, then who does it belong to?
It's mine.
You own an electric typewriter?
Sure.
Well, how did you get it?
I ordered it from a shop. I mean, if you pay Schedule D income tax, it's deductible.
Almost lunchtime, John.
Yes, in a minute, Bob. What's this? Terry had been on tea for 4 years before he first used horse. What the hell is this, Erskine?
Oh, sorry, John. That shouldn't be in there.
Well, it is. So what is it?
It's an article on drugs for Features Department.
You're writing for Features? They asked you to do it?
Sure. I set it up when I came for my interview.
Then we better set up something here and now, Erskine.
Sure, John, sure.
You want to write for other departments, you do it in your own time and not mine. Now, Canon Morley's article, is it in yet, Bob?
No, it's not.
It was due this morning. Erskine, I'd like you to collect it for me.
Sure. What's the address?
Here. The fair way out, Erskine. Windsor. So you better carry straight on home afterwards.
Sure, sure. Oh, if you're home tonight, John, you might watch Top of the Pops. I'd like your opinion.
On what?
Just a couple of songs. They're 3 and 4 in the charts.
Oh, are you into television as well then, Erskine?
Sure, Bob.
You're very casual about it.
It's just a couple of songs, Bob. And this time I only wrote the words.
Well, he's certainly different from old Eddie.
Don't say another word, Bob. Just thank God he won't be back today.
Well, who'll take care of the office?
Oh, damn. Honestly, Bob, can't you anticipate anything? Well, I'll just have to miss old Eddie's funeral. Unless... Tessa.
Tessa?
Yes, get her over, Bob. I'm sure she'd like to play journalist for a couple of hours.
Right, Dyson. Now, which one of you...
Oh, Mr. Bounce.
Tessa. Both still at the wake, are they?
Yes, but they shouldn't be much longer.
Hmm. And don't suppose you'd know which one of them sent me this.
Editor to our Mounts, confidential. It says it's from the editor.
Another one of their jokes, is it?
I don't know.
Then you'd better read it.
I cannot trace any reply to my memo of the 12th of this month. Since the matter is important, I would be glad to know what other arrangements you have made and the date of their implementation. It looks like it's from the editor.
Right. The last one said it was from the editor, but it wasn't. It's just a load of crap from some joker. All this crap about other arrangements. It's crap, that's what it is.
Is it?
People aren't asked to make other arrangements. Not on this paper. So it's obviously a load of crap. You don't think it's really from the editor, do you?
I honestly don't know, Mr. Mance.
It's the sort of stinking crap the editor would write. Other arrangements. It's the sort of stinking thing he'd say. Well, you've really put doubts in my mind.
But you said people aren't asked to make other arrangements on this newspaper.
No, what I mean is if they were. Well, other arrangements is just what the stinking editor would call it.
But surely you can find out if it's genuine.
Yeah, go and ask the stinking editor.
No, ring his secretary. She's bound to know.
I never thought of that. Suppose I could. On the other hand, I might do something else.
Poor Mr. Mounts. He's lost his bumps. While Slender Glenda craves his gender. I think Bob might like that.
Ah, I told you, Bob. Perfect journalist. No problems, were there?
Oh, no. A couple of phone calls. The numbers are on your pad.
Oh,
and Reg Mounts looked in. Something about another letter from the editor.
No, that's his problem.
Oh, and there's something for Bob. Mr. Dancer. He's chief something or other.
The chief sub-editor.
Oh, that's him. He left a note for you. It's over there.
Oh, thanks.
How was the funeral?
Oh, fine. Oh. Man that is born of woman hath but a short time to live. And is full of misery. Absolutely marvellous.
John!
Hey, Bob, you're as white as a sheet.
Well, this note, it's not from Dunster, it's from the editor.
Well, not other arrangements.
No, it just says, congratulations. Why the hell's the editor congratulating me?
I haven't a clue. Unless, well, you know how moral the editor is.
Who doesn't? Why?
Well, I reckon he's found out about you and Tessa.
What about us?
Well, you're living with him, staying under the same roof.
Reg Mounce's roof. Well, that's nothing to be congratulated about.
Yeah, but your engagement is. So, congratulations. And I'll bring you a present back from the Persian Gulf.
Snap! Bloody snap!
Good Lord, Reg Mounce. What the hell are you doing here?
Same as you. Flying Scheherazade to a stinking magic carpet.
Well, for the newspaper?
You must be joking. No, it's for a stinking bit of crap called Leisure and Pleasure magazine.
Ah.
Oh, it's bloody marvellous. A whole week with nothing to do but booze.
Well, you would take some pictures, though, won't you?
When they say it is, our press folder's full of them. Well, there's even enough written crap for you to slap a feature together. 7 days of sun, booze, birds, all on expenses. Might even slap some on the paper as well.
Really?
Hmm. To tell you the truth, though, John, I'm glad to be going.
A break from Glenda?
No. It's this other arrangements, Lark. It's getting me down. A few days away from the office, I reckon it'll all blow over.
Boys and girls, attention, please. Attention, please. Regret to start off trip with bad news. Scheherazade Tours aircraft found to have flat tire. So short delay is necessary.
Oh, God.
Now, good news. Bars open.
Ah, that's
all drinks courtesy of Scheherazade Tours.
Come on.
Erskine?
Sure, Bob?
Sorry, Canon Morley's copy.
Yeah, it's lousy.
Yeah, well, so I thought you might like to rewrite it.
Oh, you do it, Bob. I'll look it over when it's done.
But if you're worried about John, I'll take full responsibility. Besides, thoughts for the day? It's terribly boring.
Well, I'm not at all worried about John, and I'm not doing thought for the day.
Oh, but John told you to... What are you doing, Erskine?
Writing to the editor.
Oh? What about?
The new preteen page.
Does John know about that?
He will, Bob. Once the editor reads this memo, he will.
Erskine?
Oh, what now, Bob?
Do you see yourself working on this paper for the rest of your life?
No, Bob. I see myself owning it.
4 bloody hours behind schedule already.
About par for a stinking press trip.
But 4 hours to mend a ruddy puncture. I could have rebuilt the plane in that time.
Looking at it, you may have to. Anyway, I always wanted a trip to Paris.
Paris? Look, Reg, you may not realize it, but this plane is going to Sharjah.
Right, Dyson. Now you read your stinking itinerary. First Paris to pick up European journalists, then Sharjah.
John's really good at checking his facts. Much better than me. And that's why he's so good at subbing. Erskine?
Sure, Bob.
Next week's meditations, you've marked it to be set in italics.
Sure.
But you can't do that.
It'll look very good, Bob. Especially with a heavy black rule round it.
Look, Erskine, this is John Dyson's department. Making radical changes like this is...
Just really... send it down for typesetting, Bob. And don't worry... I'll take full responsibility if Dyson questions it.
Look, I don't want to be awkward, but can
bar
you...
The bar is still open, Mr. Dyson.
I don't want the flaming bar. I want to know when we're bloody well leaving.
Then there is no problem. I'm just making announcements. Boys and girls, attention, please. Scheherazade Tours, sorry for delay. But all hitches have now been cleared. We take off immediately. Please to follow signs to gate 23.
Gate 23? That says Amsterdam. That's the opposite direction to the Middle East.
No. Boys and girls, please, boys and girls. Reason we go to Amsterdam is simple. Plane which takes us to Sharjah is now waiting at Amsterdam.
Oh, God.
Of course, also full bar facilities courtesy of Scheherazade Tours.
Isn't that bloody marvelous? Just when I've learned to say der Scotch garçon toot sweet sea plane. John, tell me something, John.
What do you want, Ridge?
What's Dutch for double scotch?
Thought houses like that even existed.
Some of them were pretty bad.
Why can't estate agents tell the truth? Houses of potential. And what's one supposed to do about sitting tenants?
Well, they're not that much of a problem, Tessa. What you do is you agree compensation. You pay and they leave. And you can always add it to the mortgage. Bob will be able to get one.
Well, I suppose so.
That was our problem when we got married. John wasn't really earning enough. That's why we ended up here. But it would be nice if you lived near us. I know John would like it. He'd never admit it, but sometimes he does feel completely cut off.
Will passagiers from Flux...
Boys and girls! Please, please, boys and girls! Delay is caused by major cock-up. Lebanese require advance cash for fuel.
And for the ruddy bar, so bloody pay up.
Unfortunately, not possible until subsidy arrives from Shajah.
Oh, get them to send it by telex.
Have burned telex wires all yesterday, all this morning.
And?
Principals refuse to advance more cash until journalists arrive in Shajah. So, impasse.
Oh, God, look. Look, I've got to be back in London the day after tomorrow. My future depends on it. So how do I bloody well get home?
No problem, Mr. Dyson. All arrangements to fly you home being made now. Takeoff will be very shortly.
Oh, what's very shortly?
Oh, inshallah, Mr. Dyson. But soon as I find a charter company willing to fly on credit, we have you home.
Credit, sweetie? No, Reg and me never touch credit.
But, Linda, a mortgage, that's not really credit. Everyone has one.
We don't. Anyway, Tessa, you don't want to lumber yourself? Not right at the beginning.
Oh, but...
No, no. You just listen to Glenda. Rent a nice little flat somewhere. Then you'll know exactly what your outgoings are. And, sweetie...
Yes?
Make sure you're not responsible for anything.
Jenny! Jenny! It's not. It's pouring down outside. I'm not in Persia. I'm in Ljubljana. I thought even cruddy Reg Mount thought. 56 hours of departure lounges, Jenny. Paris, Amsterdam, Beirut. And now when I've actually managed to get a flight home, the ruddy aircraft packs up over Yugoslavia. Until they can fix it, there's just not a bloody thing I can do. What? 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 No, no, Scheherazade's gone bust. I swear, Janet, if I miss my television program, I shall sue them for every penny they've got. Oh, forget it, Janet. Now, listen carefully. Ring the BBC. Ring the BBC. Tell them I'm on my way. Well, I'll give them a replacement. Bob. Yeah. You'll have to persuade him, Janet, but I shall be back in time. I'll be back in time, hell or high water. I'm depending on you, Janny. Yeah, I know. No problems your end. I don't want to hear about the neighbours. What? Miss Pennyquick. Yes. What? What? Janny. Janny. Miss Pennyquick is... Janny. Janny, can you hear me? Oh, damn it. Get off the line. Jenny. Oh, God.
It's a bit bloody much, John.
What is it now, Reg?
The stinking courier from Scheherazade has drained the last stinking bottle of scotch.
So?
Well, it's a bit stinking much when the stinking courier gets stinking. Stealing the booze out of our mouths. It's just downright selfish.
Being selfish, Jenny.
The program is tonight, Bob, and John really wants you to do it.
But, Jenny, I don't know a thing about race relations.
Don't be so feeble, Bob. You know as much about them as John.
But I can't think why you're so keen for me to do it.
Why? Because I would like to see you on television, and because I think you'd be terribly good. Anyway, you'll only be standing by.
Ah, but suppose John isn't back. Oh, I don't know.
What do you think, Tessa?
I don't want you to do anything you don't want to.
Well, for God's sake, Tessa, don't you ever have an opinion of your own?
Of course I do, but I want you to be happy, to do what you want. But you're the man. You've got to decide things for yourself.
Trust you, John. Trust you to get the whole stinking thing screwed up.
Well, I did get us on a plane. Just be grateful.
Booking us on a stinking load of crap. A stinking airline. Stinking plane without even a stinking bar. And we're going to reach London in that.
Well, that's got four engines and they're jets.
And stinking straight wings.
Well, what's wrong with straight wings?
Shows us a cartload of scrap. Obsolete.
How the hell can a jet plane be obsolete?
Because stinking jets have been around for 100 stinking years. They came out when you were a stinking kid, and that was a stinking long time ago. If you weren't so
a long time ago, in your own 15 years, almost a quarter of my life gone before I'd even started to live. University, holidays, Janny, kids, a profession respected by everyone. Well, almost everyone. And now, half my life's gone. All I can think about is a piddling television program, drinking too much before the transmission, greasing up to Lord Body. Who is, if anything, an even sillier tit than I am? Why? Why? Well, because I'm a very silly man. Vain, tetchy, passionately devoted to futile objectives.
Sitting by the fireside, waiting for me. So, Dyson, don't think you're the only one.
Oh, shut up, Ridge. Anyway, I don't know what the hell you're so worried about. That plane doesn't leave soon. You know what happens. Bang goes my television program. Bang goes the rest of my life.
Your life? You're a selfish sub, John. Not a thought for me. What am I going through? Wondering if I'll ever see my Glenda again.
Diaries.
Bob, it's Glenda. Darling, I just had to ring you.
Oh, look, is it important?
I wouldn't have rung if it wasn't, sweetie. Reg has just phoned. He's stuck in Gutonia or something.
No, Ljubljana.
Clever you are, sweet. Anyway, John Dyson wants you...
I know all about that. Mrs. Dyson's with me now.
Well, it's nothing to do with me, darling, but you can't turn down a chance like that. Opportunity doesn't knock twice, especially when you've a family to support.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
You better think of Tessa as well, sweet.
Well, I am thinking of her.
Good. So don't waste any more time. Just ring the television people and say yes. Promise.
I'll think about it. Oh, honestly, why is everyone trying to mother me?
Somebody's got to mother you, Bob. Make you do something with your life.
Well, I suppose it is an opportunity. And I suppose one should make an effort to get ahead. What do you think, Erskine?
Sure, Bob, sure.
Well, I know you think that. But now tell me something honestly.
Sure.
Would you do it? Would you appear in this bloody programme?
Sure I would, Bob. Sure I would.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Reg, move.
In this stinking traffic?
Oh, come on.
Two stinking days. You've spent two stinking days saying you didn't care whether you got back or not. But you had enough of this television crap.
Yes, well, that was in Ljubljana.
Well, then.
Oh, God, if only we'd left Ljubljana 20 minutes later.
Well, we wouldn't be here. We'd have missed the stinking connection from Amsterdam.
Exactly. Then everything would have settled itself.
What? No, I just don't know.
Oh, come on.
The stinking consistency, Dyson. You just about take the stinking cake.
New perspectives, I'm on it. Which studio?
One moment, sir.
Oh, for heaven's sake, woman, hurry. Hurry, please.
Here we are. New perspectives. Sorry, they don't do that from here.
What? This is the BBC Television Centre?
Oh, yes. What? But new perspectives, that goes out from the Lime Grove studio.
Oh, God.
It's about 10 minutes, if you run all the way. Oh. But there's no need to rush. They started half an hour early.
Oh. Half an hour early. They start my program half an hour early. And why the
fit in some stinking party political broadcast. God! Politicians think they rule the country or something.
John!
What? Janny! Well, why are you here? Tessa? Mrs. Mount?
We came to watch Bob.
Oh, we all came to watch Bob.
Oh, you did you? Well, don't hold me in stinking suspense.
He didn't do it.
He didn't what?
Didn't go on.
Oh, John, you got back okay then?
Yes, Bob, I got back okay. A little late, but I got back. But all the time, in Paris, Amsterdam, Beirut, Ljubljana, I stayed calm. Do you know why, Bob? Because I knew the program was in good hands, yours. So who did the bloody program?
Well, that's rather a long story, John.
Bob just let himself get shoved out of the way, as usual.
Oh, now, that's not really fair, Johnny. It was a misunderstanding.
Will someone tell me who did my program?
You've got one stinking guess.
Dyson, my dear fellow.
Oh, Lord Body. Janny, this is my wife, Janny, and some friends. Lord, this is Lord Frank Body.
Quite pity you're delayed, Dyson. But, well, ill winds. The BBC really appreciated your suggestion.
Well, all I did was give them your name, Frank, said we'd work together.
Hi, John.
Erskine. Yeah, as you were saying, Frank.
Oh, just that you are damn good at spotting talent. Young Erskine here was brilliant. Facts right at his fingertips.
Erskine? You did the programme?
Sure. Now, if you'll excuse us, Frank. Dinner? I've booked at my club.
Oh,
dear. It's really...
You let that stinking little prick do my programme.
I'm sorry, John. It was a misunderstanding. He thought I'd asked him to go on, and I couldn't insist that he stand down, not after he'd taken the trouble to come all the way over here.
Pennycrick? That's the one, John. I told you, the crazy woman who kept phoning.
Tessa! Tessa!
Oh, it's my mother. What, you mean Tessa's Miss Pennycrick?
The back door, Tessa.
Tessa, come here this instant.
Look, I can explain, Mrs. Pennycrick.
Well, you'll speak outside. Come along,
Tessa. And Reg, sweetie, I think Bob could do with a little help.
Right. And I could do with a stinking drink. Come on, Glenda.
I suppose I'll see you tomorrow, Reg. Pub, lunchtime?
Not bloody likely, John. No, Bob reckoned no one even missed me. So I'll take another couple of months off. Maybe even stay away permanently. You know, let that other arrangements lark really sort itself out. Besides, you won't have much time for pubs.
No?
You mean Bob didn't tell you?
Tell me what?
About Erskine Morris. The BBC. They're giving him his own television program. Twice a week.
Janny. Janny.
Mm. Yes, John.
I know exactly what'll make me happy, Janny. Politics. Just to make my name in politics. I mean, take Frank Body. Who'd heard of him before he got into politics?
In Towards the End of the Morning by Michael Frayn, Martin Jarvis and Rosalind Ayres were the Dysons, Sean Probert was Bob, Catherine Hurlbut was Tessa, and Fenella Fielding and Trevor Martin were Glenda and Reg. Peter Whitman was Erskine Morris, John Green, Starfield and the Editor, Sean Arnold, Norman Ward Westerman, and Lockwood West was Eddie. Other parts were played by Rosalind Adams, Miranda Forbes, Stephen Garlick, Ronald Herdman, and Andrew Lodge. Michael Frayn's novel was dramatized by Geoffrey M. Matthews and directed by Dickon Reed. That production was first broadcast on the BBC World Service.